Let's start with the story that generated the most comment velocity on HN this weekend. GLM 5.2, developed by Zhipu AI out of China, has apparently beaten Claude on SemGrep's internal cybersecurity benchmarks. The post from SemGrep's research team is detailed. They tested models specifically on their Mythos benchmark suite, which focuses on code vulnerability detection, static analysis reasoning, and security-relevant pattern matching. GLM 5.2 outperformed Claude on those specific tasks. Now, the HN community is appropriately skeptical about the framing, and I think that skepticism is well placed.
Right. There's an important distinction to draw here between benchmark performance on a narrow domain and general model capability. SemGrep is a code analysis company. Their benchmarks are optimized for exactly the kind of structured, rule-based pattern reasoning that their tools require. What this tells us is that Zhipu AI has built a model that's extremely competitive on security-relevant code analysis. It does not tell us that GLM 5.2 is a better general-purpose model than Claude 4. But, and this matters for the business story here, it tells you something important about how the Chinese AI ecosystem is developing. Zhipu has been around since 2019, it's backed by Tencent and Alibaba, and it's clearly making targeted bets on specific capability domains rather than trying to win the generalist benchmark race.
The knowledge distillation paper that also surfaced on HN today is directly relevant here. The 2024 paper on distilling black box large language models describes techniques for extracting capabilities from a closed model, essentially training a smaller or differently architected model to replicate the behavior of a larger one without direct access to its weights. What's interesting is that these techniques have matured significantly in the past 2 years, and they partly explain how organizations like Zhipu can close gaps with frontier models faster than raw training compute would suggest. You don't need to train a GPT-4 scale model from scratch if you can distill specific capabilities from it efficiently.
The security implications of that are real, by the way. If you can distill security-relevant reasoning from frontier models and package it into something that can be self-hosted on-premise, you've just made sophisticated code vulnerability analysis accessible to organizations that can't or won't use cloud-based AI services. That's a significant shift in the enterprise security tooling market, and I'd expect to see acquisitions and partnerships in that space over the next 18 months.
Connected to the AI theme, and this is the story generating the most raw comment count on HN today. Over 580 comments. Someone posted about using Claude code with the Opus model to get a second opinion on their MRI scan results. The author describes walking through the imaging report with the model, getting explanations of specific findings, and cross-referencing with medical literature. The HN community is genuinely divided on this, and the divide is interesting. It's not a simple AI shouldn't do medicine response. The most upvoted comments are nuanced. People who've had ambiguous scan results, couldn't get a follow-up appointment for weeks, and found value in having a model help them understand what they were looking at while they waited for their actual physician.
There's a real access problem underlying that story. In the United States, median wait time for a specialist appointment is now over 30 days in most urban markets. For people with ambiguous findings, that's a month of anxiety in a vacuum. I'm not saying AI should replace radiologists, it shouldn't. But the argument that people shouldn't use AI to help them understand their own medical information is paternalistic in a way that ignores the access problem completely.
And the model training story from Aleph Alpha, model training as code, fits into this arc as well. Their argument is that model training pipelines should be treated with the same rigor as production software, version controlled, reproducible, auditable. It's not a revolutionary concept, but it's an important one as the gap between we trained a model and we understand why this model behaves this way continues to widen. The HN discussion includes some pushback from practitioners who say the analogy breaks down because training involves stochastic processes that are fundamentally harder to reproduce than deterministic software builds. But the directional argument is right.
Let me pivot to the HackerRank ATS story, because it's a perfect encapsulation of the gap between how automated systems are marketed and how they actually behave. HackerRank open-sourced their applicant tracking system, and someone immediately fed their resume through it. They got a 90 out of 100. Then they tweaked the resume slightly and got 74. Then different again and got 88. These aren't small variations. This is a 26-point swing on what is supposed to be an objective evaluation. The HN community is treating this as a debugging exercise, but it's actually a much larger indictment of the entire automated resume screening industry, which processes hundreds of millions of applications every year.
What's telling is that open sourcing the system made this visible. For years, candidates have suspected that ATS systems behave inconsistently, but without access to the code, it was hard to demonstrate. Now you have the actual implementation and you can probe it directly. I'd expect to see a lot more of this kind of empirical evaluation of HR technology tools over the next few months now that the code is public.
And the Brown University AI exam fraud story connects to all of this. A professor found that a substantial number of students in an exam submitted AI-generated content. The article from El País puts it in the context of a broader academic integrity crisis. But I think the interesting question isn't, how do we detect AI cheating? It's, what does it mean when the detection tools and the generation tools are built on the same underlying infrastructure? You can't reliably watermark your way out of this problem, and the plagiarism detection approach that worked for copy-paste cheating in the early 2000s fundamentally doesn't transfer to generative AI.
The HN comments on that thread are worth reading. Several academics weigh in on the structural incentives. Exams that test memorization and regurgitation are exactly the tasks AI handles best, while exams that require genuine synthesis and novel argumentation are harder to fake. Which suggests the real response isn't better detection. It's rethinking assessment design entirely. Though I recognize that's easier to say than to implement across a university system.